If you like Academic Agents content on this channel, sign up for a course on the Academic Agency. He's now offering Foundations of Economics. Click the link in the show description and level up your econ knowledge.
My recent trilogy of videos, Issues with Libertarian Arguments Against Socialism, continue to have ripple effects across the community. One of the best ripples, so to speak, has been a new series launched by Nathan Hood, looking at the epistemological origins of liberalism. The first of those is out now, and I'd strongly recommend checking that out. It's an excellent introduction, and I've put a note to it in the show notes. However, another ripple has been the sheer number of people pointing out that life would have been worse back in medieval times for our old friend John Smith, the blacksmith. So in this video, I want to challenge those people clinging on to their Enlightenment propaganda by comparing 1381 John Smith to his counterpart, John Smith, in the 1800s, using the very metrics of liberalism itself, which is to say, material measures as opposed to the transcendent values which are beyond measure, and which were much more deeply felt by 1381 John Smith. I am going to be comparing them on the following metrics: wealth, leisure time, calorie intake, cost of living, and productivity. Surely this is an absolute slam dunk for the industrial 19th century, no? Surely the age of the bean counter, against which Thomas Carlyle raged, marked a significant material advance over the medieval era, no? Well, let's take a look. All of the data I'll be presenting here is taken from the book British Economic Growth, 1270 to 1870 by Stephen Broadbury and Friends, published by Cambridge University Press. So in this first graph, we see plotted real wages as a ratio against GDP per capita over time. Oh look, the line goes down. In other words, as GDP per capita rose across Europe, real wages as a percentage of GDP per capita fell. Here's the situation in just England. I'm afraid 1800s John Smith is not looking so hot. In fact, if we isolate 1381 John Smith against 1800s John Smith, even taking the peak of the 1800s in this dataset, 1381 John Smith is easily 50% ahead, if not more. Yes, it is true that the overall economy was bigger in the 1800s than in the 1380s, but there were also many more people. And so in 1381, John Smith had a greater share of the wealth of his nation than 1800s John Smith. Now, I know history fans will be screaming at the screen now that the 1380s were just a few years after the Black Death, while the 1800s were experiencing a massive population boom induced by the Industrial Revolution. But so what? These two facts reflect the competing value systems of tradition and progressive liberalism. 1381 John Smith saw death as a fact of life. Milquetoast moderns try to avoid death at all cost, as we have seen during the pandemic. But the trade-off for trying to keep every last person alive for longer and longer is that each person has a smaller share in the wealth, and so is worse off from that point of view. Now, let us consider leisure time. Unfortunately, we do not have average days worked for 1381. The closest we can get is 1433, and that will have to be close enough, although there is good reason to believe that the actual number for 1381 would have been lower than the number that we see here. As you can see from these statistics, the average days worked per person in 1433 was 165, while the average for the 1800s is around 320, a dramatic increase. 1381, John Smith enjoyed up to 200 days of leisure time a year, while his 19th century counterpart enjoyed only 45 days, and this is including weekends. This means that 1381 John Smith had a staggering 344% more leisure time than 1800's John Smith. Now, you could argue that 1381 John Smith was 344% more free than 1800's John Smith. Next, let us look at calorie intake. We have a good view of dairy and butter production across this whole period. They were making good Welsh salted butter even back then. As we can see here, 38.77 million gallons of milk was the total output for the 1380s. But bear in mind, this was only 2.36 million people. Obviously, milk output in the 1800s was many times greater than that. But also consider that the economy had to serve a population that was many times greater and growing all the time. Now, thankfully, Broadberry and Co. have given us some metrics to make direct comparisons across these periods. Here we see total population against average food intake across various groups with calculated calorie intakes. I have highlighted our man, 1381 John Smith, and put a box around the 1800s figures. Notice that the 1380s are even above the 1860s here, which is where the data set ends. If you take an average of the 1800s, the typical worker would be getting around 2,173 calories, while in 1381 it would have been around 2,467, or 13.5% more. So 1381 John Smith was better fed than 1800s John Smith. Now, if we drill down into John Smith's shopping bill, John Smith, as a blacksmith, would have been classed as a craftsman, so he was above your typical labourer in the hierarchy of that day. On this table, the closest we can get to him is the building craftsman, who we can use as a fairly safe proxy for the blacksmith. It's possible that in any given moment, a blacksmith would have been paid more than a building craftsman or less, but let's just use it as a rough measure. Broadberry and Co. give us two different metrics here. First is the bare bones basket, which contains oats and just enough food to get by, very little in the way of luxury items. In other words, if you're getting the bare bones basket, you're just above the bread line, you are basically subsistence living if you're on the bare bones basket. Then they give us a second basket, the respectability basket, which contains bread made of wheat, candles, and certain luxury goods. The metric is given for buying these goods for a family of three for a whole year. Now, 1381 John Smith, circled on the left here, if he worked 200 days a year, would be able to afford 1 1/5 respectability baskets for his family with his income, or he could get 3 1/3 bare bones baskets. 1800s John Smith, meanwhile, represented here by 1801 and 1803, the only data given, cannot afford the respectability basket for the whole year. He's on 0.96, if you see. And he can just about manage 3 bare bones baskets if he worked 200 days. So 1381 John Smith is 27% better off in terms of the respectability basket, and almost 10% better off in terms of the bare bones basket. In either case, his money went further than 1800 John Smith. And finally, we come to the area in which one would imagine that 1800 John Smith might annihilate 1381 John Smith: productivity. Well, again, hold your horses, Steven Pinker, because if we take blacksmiths as being part of the industrial sector and making tools and whatnot, they surely were part of the industrial sector. If you take per worker output relative to the economy as a whole, 1381 John Smith was contributing a lot more on a per capita basis than 1800's John Smith. Well, of course, overall, 19th century industrial production greatly outperformed medieval production. That's not in question. But that's not what we're measuring here. What we're measuring is John Smith's personal contribution to the economy as a percentage. And on that metric, 1381, John Smith is 113% more productive than 1800s John Smith. So to summarize, 1381 John Smith has scored a flawless victory.
Flawless victory.
Against 1800s John Smith in all five areas. Now, I can see people complaining that I've cherry-picked data points to tell a story here to fit a certain narrative, if you want. But, you know, that's facts and logic, isn't it? The Enlightenment likes to tell a story about history, but it really depends on which facts you tease out and which narrative you want to tell.
Now available at the Academic Agency. Sharpen your analytical mind and your argumentation skills with Foundations of Logic. The course draws on the ancient wisdom of traditional logic that students learned for over 2,000 years, from the time of Aristotle through to the medieval schoolmen, right down to the 20th century. Sign up now for a free preview lecture.
Be sure to like this video and subscribe. And if you really like my content, maybe consider joining the channel or donating or maybe even buy a mug. I am grateful for all of your support. Now get out.